Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Matthew and also the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. If you're saved by the grace of God, does it really matter how you live your life? I mean, after all, you're saved, and when you die, you're going to go to heaven. So does it really matter how you live day by day when it comes to your daily walk and your daily talk? After all, you're saved by grace, and God's going to take you to heaven when you die. So what real difference does it make how you live each day of your life? You know, there's a lot of individuals who will say something like that. They'll say something like, well, you know, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, so what difference does it really make? You know, I know that I'm a believer and I have Jesus Christ living on the inside of my life. Well, can I tell you, it makes a tremendous difference, and you're going to find out it's going to make a tremendous difference for all of eternity. Because the truth about it is, you're saved by grace, but you're saved for the purpose of carrying out the wonderful agenda, the good works that God has placed inside of you, and God has gifted every one of us. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, now I just don't know if I believe that because I've never done this, I've never gone to school, I've never learned a whole lot. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't change the fact that the God who saved you, if you're a child of God, been saved by the grace of God, has given you a gift. And I want you to listen very carefully as you take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, because Jesus is making it very clear that you and I are going to be rewarded for our life. Now, sometimes somebody will say, well, what does it mean I'm going to be rewarded? Does that mean that there's going to be a reward time in heaven, that God is going to reward me for my walk and my life and my character, and He's going to reward me for how I use my time, my talents, my abilities? And my answer to all those is absolutely yes. There sadly are so many who preach the idea, preach the thought that, you know, if you're saved, you're going to heaven and that's all there is to life. I'm here to tell you that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Word of God. If you have time, I can show you verse after verse after verse, and we're going to look at some today. Because Jesus makes it very clear that every minute of your life is counting. And the Bible says in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14 through 30, listen to what Jesus says, and he compares it to three men. Listen carefully. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Sounds like Jesus coming to earth and going back to heaven, don't it? Verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. Sounds like a second coming, don't it? And reckon with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents, and behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But listen carefully to the last one. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Or the word usury means interest. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to look only at one verse. 1 Corinthians 3. And listen very carefully to verse 13. Paul is talking to the saints of God at Corinth. And listen to what he says. Every man's work shall be made manifest or be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try, what's the next word? Every man's work of what sort it is. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning, because I'm going to deal with this Sunday and next Sunday, this sobering and powerful truth from the Word of God rewarded for our life. Because I really believe there is a remnant of people who are saved by the grace of God who somehow have either never learned this or have never been taught this. And so I want you to listen very carefully, because one of the realities of your life and my life is this. Every day counts and every minute counts, and really every second counts. Because you're not saved by accident if you're a Christian. You're not saved by chance. You're not saved by just some accidental thing that happened. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, He placed His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And as He placed His Holy Spirit on the inside of you, He placed Him there, and He's watching your life, because every minute counts. Now, whenever you look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to go back and I want you to walk through this outline with me. Get your Bibles out, get your outline out, because you need to understand, we need to understand as we get closer and closer to the end time, that everything about our life matters. You know, whenever Jesus was using this story, he said, I want to tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he proceeded to talk about 3 men. And as he talked about those 3 men, you read and you listened how each one of them had different talents, gifts, and abilities. Now, one thing about our Lord is every story has a serious meaning and implication for our day and for our time. And here's something you and I need to understand first and foremost. Each and every person that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 25, verse 15, 14 through 30, each one of those men had a talent, a gift to use for the Lord God. You know, it's interesting to notice that all 3 of these men, they don't have the same thing. And as I look out over the congregation, all of us don't have the same talents, the same gifts, the same abilities. But here is the reality, that the God who saved you, if you're a Christian, the God who placed His Spirit on the inside of you, has given you a gift to use, and to use for His glory and to use for His honor. You know, when you look back at verse 15, here's what he says. And unto one he gave 5, to another 2, to another 1. You know, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give some people 5, some people 10, some people 0. Everyone who's saved by the grace of God has been gifted by God. You have a gift that you can use for the glory of God. It simply is the biblical truth. Now, you may say something like, well, you know, I just don't understand that, or I don't know how that works, and I just don't see into that. So that excuses me, right? Well, let me give you an example from real life and see how you think this would work. Suppose April the 15th comes and you have a tax liability of, let's just say, $5,000. Just pull that out of the air. And you have a tax liability of $5,000, and you say, you know, I just don't see into it and understand how I have a tax liability of $5,000. So I'm just going to write the Internal Revenue Service a letter. And I'm going to tell them, to the best of my ability, I appreciate you touching base with me, but I just don't see into that, and I'll talk to you next year, okay? Well, you tell me how that goes for you. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Jesus is being very serious about each servant that he has. Jesus is being very serious about the talents and the gifts and the abilities that he has given to you and me. And you see, to say that you have no talent and you have no ability and you don't have anything to serve the Lord, number one, it's a violation of Scripture. God didn't save you and give you nothing. Every one of us have a gift, have a talent to use for the glory of God. Why? Because he wants to reward you. You know, he wants to call you before himself, and he's going to look at your life. He knows what he's given you, and he's going to see how you've used your life, your time, your talent well. Some of you have the ability to teach. Some of you have the ability to serve. Some of you have the ability to lead in certain areas. Some of you have the ability to work behind the scenes, and you love to be faithful behind the scenes. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. You are going to stand, and you're going to give an account before the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says it's like he's taken a journey. He's gone back into heaven, and he's just watching the earth, and he's watching his men and his women, his young people, whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever you're, he's watching to see how you do while he's away. Have you ever had your parent to say to you something like this? Now, I've got to be away a few days, but here's what I want you to do for your mother. And I want you to do this, 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 this. And I'm going to come home and I'm going to call you into accountability. Well, you know what you'll do next. Now, some of us are procrastinators. Some of us are diligent. Maybe you don't think your dad's going to call you into accountability. But what Jesus makes it very clear in this passage of Scripture is you have been endowed by Holy God with a gift. And so what that means is this. You're to go to work. You're not to be lazy. You're not to be slothful. You're not to be sitting back and letting other people, because there really is going to be a day, there is going to be a time in which, as this Lord called his servants, that you and I are going to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, and he's going to call us into account. You know, imagine the thought for a moment. You know you've been saved by the grace of God, and you just sort of put it on coast. You know, you've heard the message preached, you know, that day of judgment is coming, that day of accountability, but you don't really take it seriously. And you put your life on idle. And there's one thing every one of us know, we're going to die. We don't think about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't even want to plan for it, because we know it's coming. You know, statistics, latest statistics put out about death, 1 out of 1 people die. You know, but here's the reality. Every one of us are going to face it. And so what Jesus said is, I want to tell you what it's like. In other words, you have been given 1, you have been given 2, you've been given 5, you've been given, and Jesus said, I'm going away, and I'm not going to do anything for a season of time. That's really what this passage of Scripture says. You know, the Lord went away, and he just let the servants, you know, let him go. You know, and talent in Scripture represents money. As a matter of fact, some of us have been blessed more financially. And some of us don't have as much financially, but here's the reality. To whom much is given, much will be what? Required. And so Jesus is saying, I want to tell you this. And he said, in essence, I am the Lord. I have watched, and I'm putting you on the earth, and I'm going to go away. I'm going to be gone for a long time. And it seems like a long time. You hear people say, well, when's Jesus going to come back again? When is really the sign of his coming going to be? And he even says it's going to seem like a long time according to earthly standards. And I've heard a lot of messages, and you have too, and I preached a lot of messages. But here's the reality. In the sight of God, it's going to be a relatively short time. And he said, here's what you do know. You do know you've been given a gift by Holy God. And you may think that using your gift is frivolous. You may think it's really not that significant, not that important. You may think that, well, who's really watching? Who's really caring? Who's really noticing? Who really knows? I can tell you this. There is one who knows, and every minute of your life is mattering to Holy God. That's why some of you, if you're lazy and slothful and you don't take seriously your Christian life, you're going to be in serious trouble. Are you going to lose salvation? No, that can't happen. But here's what you can do. Imagine standing before Jesus and him calling your name and him indicting you for being lazy, indicting you for being slothful, indicting you for wasting this one God-given life that you've been given. One of the things that amazes me, and I'm sure many of you, as I get a little bit older, I'm amazed at how fast things happen. One of the things that I've noticed as after I got the age of 50, can I tell you one of the most interesting observations? Everything you look forward to happening, it's poof and it's gone. You look forward to a vacation and it's over. You look forward to getting together with someone and it just goes so fast. And Jesus made it very clear that every one of us, every person has been entrusted with a gift. Now, you don't have to use it. As a matter of fact, Jesus said there was one man in this passage of Scripture that, here's what he said, I was afraid. I don't think he was afraid. He said he was afraid. He said, I know my master's heart, but really, he was lazy. Now, listen to me very carefully. Sometimes the Christian life gets pretty tough and gets pretty hard. Amen? Let's say it together. Amen? Amen. Gets hard. Sometimes somebody does something to you, or you're trying to walk obedient and somebody just, you know, waylays you. But does it really matter what you do? Oh, yes. It matters with every passing second, because God is going to honor that life. He's going to honor that integrity. And you see, Jesus made it very clear. He knows that every one of us have been gifted and we've been given a talent. And the truth about it is, only God knows. And some of you that are teachers in Sunday school class, you may say, well, why should I be faithful? I've only got one or two. And somebody says, well, I've only got two or three. Why should I be faithful? Because, listen, when you think about it, you're not doing it to those little kids. You're doing it as though Jesus Christ is sitting there. I'll tell you what, when you teach like Jesus Christ is sitting in your Sunday school class and he's listening to your every word, or he's standing beside you when you work in the service of the Lord, listen, that gives a whole different meaning of work, because you do it as unto the Lord. And as you serve, you think, Lord, you're really watching, aren't you? Yes, he is. He's watching, he's caring, and you may think, well, nobody's really noticing. But about that time you get disheartened. Have you ever noticed this? Those times you get disheartened and discouraged, all of a sudden somebody will come up to your life and they'll say, you know what, you may not know it, but just your life is a blessing to me. But what Jesus is saying, he says, I want you to know that I'm gone. I'm going to go away. Now, bodily, he's away. The presence of the Lord is always with us. But he said, I want you to know, mark it on your calendar, there is going to be a day, a time, and an hour when I come back. In the story, he says, I'm going to be gone for a while. But listen, Jesus said, you can look at the signs of the times and get an indicator. It's getting close for my arrival. I don't know about you, but I get goosebumps when I think about that meteor that just flashed across Russia. Listen, friend, that wasn't an accident. That was the hand of God saying to all the world, I want you to know I'm God and I'm sovereign and I'm in control of this thing and I'm going to wrap it up someday. And the thing about it is it's serious business to be faithful, and it's dangerous business to be unfaithful. And Jesus said, I want you to know that I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'm going to reward you. Look at number two. Each person determines how he'll respond with his talents. Now, when you look in this passage of Scripture in Matthew, here's what you come to a quick discovery. The man with five didn't determine what the man with one did. The man with one didn't determine what the man with five did. They each determined for themselves what they did with their life. Can I say this to you, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I pray the Spirit of God will rivet this. Nobody decides for you what you'll do with your Christian life but you. You may say, well, you know, I grew up in a family of unfaithfulness, and I grew up with all this and all that, but you know what? You can say, you know what, I'm going to make a decision, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to honor my Lord and Savior who died on the cross for me. And you see, when you look in this passage of Scripture, the person who had been given many talents, here's what he did. He went to work. Now, I know sometimes that's a bad word. You know, some people are afraid of that. There's some television shows on that, you know, you watch people, you think, surely they don't get money just for that. And it's amazing what people get money for anymore. But can I tell you this? Jesus said to each one, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to watch how you work. I'm going to watch how faithful you're going to be, because you're going to be in situations, you're going to be in environments, you're going to be placed in all those different situations, and I'm going to watch and see if you choose to honor me or dishonor me. You see, the eye of faith has this really understanding that there is a God that's watching. And sometimes in my praying, I just like to look up. And sometimes there'll be some type of cloud formation. I'm not saying it'll be a picture of anyone, but it'll just be a unique cloud formation, and I'll just smile. You know, because he gives us all things richly to enjoy. And you see, the one thing that the one with that had the more talents, the one that had three, he didn't argue. You know, these three men didn't argue about their response. You know, the one that had the more talents, the one that had the middle talents, they both put it into practice. And listen, it's God's command to you and me that we work. It's a command that you get into the Word of God and study the Word of God. Study to show yourself to be acceptable, approved unto God. And you see, because, you know, if you're faithful with your talents and your times and your gifts and your abilities, then God's going to commend you. Now, I don't know how seriously you believe this, but let me ask you a question. Do you believe it's a lie, what Jesus just said in Matthew 15? It can't be a lie and a truth, right? We know it's the truth of Holy God. But here's what the devil does. He sort of numbs us that, well, my life really don't count. Yes, your life counts. Your life, whether you're a teenager, it counts. Whether you're in your 20s, it counts. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. You know, the person who had been given less talents, here's what he did. He just put them into practice. You ever know any one-talent people? You say, yes, I'm one of them. But in church life through the years, I've known some that they just had one talent. Now, they'd try to do something that was outside of their talent, and they couldn't do it. You know, you may call on them to sing, and they say, I can't sing. Oh, get up and sing. And they sing, and you realize, no, they can't sing. You know, that's not their talent. That's not what God's given them. But maybe they're serving behind the scene. Now, here's what Jesus said. I want you to understand very carefully what he said. He said, I've endowed you with talents. I, Holy God, have endowed you and 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 you. I've endowed you with talents if you're saved by the grace of God. And I'm watching what you do. I'm watching how you exercise your talent. And you see, the thing about it is, you know, you look at Scripture, the man with two talents. He didn't walk around complaining and say, you know what, if I'd been given five talents, I'd gone to work. And you know, there are some people like that. Well, you know what, I wish I had the ability to sing, but since I can't sing, I'm not going to do anything. You know, imagine if everybody was called to be the preacher. We'd have about 100 people standing up here, but who'd be listening? Or if everybody was called to play the piano, well, I don't think the stool would hold us all. Or everybody was called to teach. But here's what the Father has said. I have given you talents, and I'm watching you. I'm watching you to see what you do with it, because Scripture makes it very clear. God don't determine what you do with your talent. I want you to listen again. God does not determine what you do with your talent. It's open-ended. What you do is your choice. Sometimes someone says, you know what, I wish I'd had more to give to the Lord. Well, if you serve faithfully, it's sort of like, some people who have some financial resources, have some money. And I remember years ago just reading about a man. He and his wife, he was a pastor of a church. He only made $8,000 a year. It's been years ago. But he had coffers of some good resources, because he was wise, he was thrifty, he saved. He didn't spend his money. He wasn't stingy or chintzy, but he was a very wise steward, and he had quite a bit of money. But here's the thing, he chose what to do with his life. What are you choosing to do with yours? What are you doing with the one life that God has given you? Whether you're a teenager, whatever your age may be, what are you doing with it? It's amazing through the years. And you see, 10 years from now, some of you won't be in church. How can I say that? Because I've seen that through time. I'm talking to some young preachers, and I shared in Sunday school, trying to help some young men, but one of the young men that I'm talking to, and I'm trying to instill in him the seriousness of being faithful. Because do you know what percentage of preachers start out at the age of 20 and stay in the ministry at 60. 90% leave the ministry. Only 10% stay. And you see, the thing about it is, you know, it's not hard, but here's what happens. The pull of the world, the pull of the stuff of the world. You know, here's this comes along and that comes along and this other comes along. And all of a sudden you find yourself out of church. You find yourself not serving the Lord. You find yourself, and all of a sudden you wake up and you're 60 years old, 65, and you say, "What? I was in church back there. What happened to my life?" Get in your heart and soul and anchor it very deep. Because listen, you determine your response. God don't. You know, sometimes we have this idea, well, you know, I just want to hear the Lord say, "Well done." I want you to listen to me very carefully. Jesus is never going to lie, is he? Now I want to ask you this question. And I want you to be acidly honest about your life. Right now, if Jesus evaluated your life and you stood in the presence of Jesus, could he even insinuate "well done" to you? Could he say "well done" about your life? You've done well in obeying him day by day. You've done well in obeying him with your finances. You've done well in following through. You see, Jesus said to these three men, he said, "Here, it is the way it is. If you don't believe Jesus is going to call you into accountability, that's your choice. If you don't believe he's going to evaluate your life, that is your choice. But the reality of it is going to happen. That is the word of God. And I determine what I do with the commands of God, and you do as well." So, second of all, each person determines how he responds to the talents that God's given him. And third, each person is rewarded based on his work. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Because here's the thing about it, and here's where we miss it oftentimes as Christians. Sometimes I hear a Christian say, "Well, you know what? I'm sure glad that I'm not going to be judged because I've passed from death to life." And that's true. You're not going to stand before the Lord in the great white throne judgment. There are two judgments that are going to happen. They're going to take place, and they are definite reality. The first one is going to be the judgment seat of Christ. The second is the great white throne judgment. They're separated by a span of 1,000 years. And the Bible says that every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. The Bema represents what we have done before the Lord Jesus. What we have done in our earthly life, what we have done in this body. And you see, the Bible says Paul is talking to the saints of God. And listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Look at the very first word. And I want you to say it with me. Every. Let's say the verse together. Let's say it slow. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, here's the thing about it. Paul said, you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. That's a given. You don't want to believe it? That's your choice. You're going to stand before Jesus. That is a given. It's a given from the Old Testament. It's a given in the New Testament. You are going to stand before. And what Paul is saying is this. I'm going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. But what am I going to be rewarded for? I'm not rewarded for salvation. You're not rewarded for salvation because that's a gift from God. But what I am rewarded for and what you're rewarded for is what God has given to you to use. You see, you think about it. We'll be called individually into account of what we did with our opportunities. Let's suppose, you know, you have an opportunity. And here's what I see. And I say this, and if this hurts your feelings and convicts you, then let the Lord convict you. Some people have the ability to sing, say, "No, I'm not going to sing." Is wasting that opportunity, are you going to give account of that wasted opportunity? Yes or no? Yes. If God has given you an ability, now, you say, "Well, Pastor, I can't sing." Well, God knows that, and if you can't sing, then you know that. But here's the thing. There are some people who say, "Well, you know what? I'm just not going to try to sing." And I know some people that have literally lost their singing voice because they squelched and said, "No, I can't, no, I can't, no, I can't." And eventually they couldn't sing. But here's what Paul is saying. He said, I want you to know that God is going to call you into account for the opportunities you have. And one of the first opportunities, parents, is the opportunity to impact your children. It is so sadly intriguing how many parents let their children go, and here's what they say. They wasted the opportunity to bring them up in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. And they say things like this when they get to be 15, I don't know what to do with my kid. I can tell you what you forgot to do. You forgot to bring them up in the fear and the nurture of the Lord, and you've got to reap what you sow. Don't you misunderstand what I'm saying. I say this as carefully as I can, as lovingly as I can. But you let your child or your children go, and you not imprint into them and put into them the things of God, then there's going to be a day you're going to live to regret it. And you see, the thing about it is lost opportunities. Lost opportunities to impact people that you work with. Lost opportunities to just simply, you know, be kind, be benevolent, because maybe we're so busy with the things of this life. Jesus said to these three men, he said, I gave each one of them, one another, and several as he chose to give them, and then was gone away and then came back. You see, here's where we are right now. We're in the gone away part. The Lord said, I've gone away. That's where we are. We're in the gone away part. Jesus said it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, I tell you the truth, I go away. And if I go away, I'll come again. In John, he said, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. What's he talking about? He's talking about the rapture. He's also going to evaluate our life. And here's the reality. Now, we leave all the timing to the Lord. But listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is the judgment seat? We don't actually have a judgment seat in this place. But the best way I can tell you is this. It's as though this is the judgment seat right here, and we stand before the, is a beam, it's a judgment. And that's the way it was in the New Testament. There's that call to accountability. And watch what he says. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. Do you realize that the Bible talks about crowns? The Bible talks about the crown of righteousness. The Bible talks about the shepherd's crown. And folks, as best I understand Scripture, the way Scripture is spoken is the way it's intended to be received. Whenever Jesus speaks of a crown, if you understand the way Jesus spoke in the New Testament, just a quick lesson, he spoke and he expected the people to believe exactly what he said. And Jesus makes it very clear, there is a crown of righteousness. Listen to what Paul said. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul, is that something symbolic, something fabricated in heaven? No. If we give crowns here for people to run a race and it don't make a dime's difference 10 years from now, think about your life and your righteousness and your walk before a holy God. The Bible says there's a righteous crown given to those who stand righteous before God. What does that mean? That you don't let the world shove its stuff down your throat because you said, I'm going to stand on the things of God. That's a righteous man or a righteous woman. But there's also the shepherd's crown. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. Peter says it in his letter. And I read that and I'm grateful because I've been pastoring for 30 years. Now, I love you with all of my heart, but I have to say this. You can't understand a pastor. It takes another pastor to understand the pastor. It's sort of like women. You women can get together. I'm still trying to understand my wife. She can get together with one of you and you all understand each other in 5 minutes. You know how it is. I'm still trying to understand. But Peter said, there is a shepherd's crown. And Paul said this, there's a crown of righteousness for me and not for me only, but to all who love his appearing. And you see, here's the reality. You're going to appear. And that's why you need to be reminded that how you live and how you walk and how you behave, it matters. Because we're in the gone away part. Jesus has gone away. But listen to what Jesus said. And by the way, you can go to Jerusalem and find out exactly where he's going to come back to. Did you know that? Jesus walked outside of Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, and he went up from right there. And the angel said to the disciples, said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing? Listen carefully. For this same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven will so come back in like manner. Now, what's he going to do? Here is literally what's going to happen. It may not be that long. He's going to come down. The world will watch him. It's going to be a sight unlike anybody's eyes have ever seen. The whole world will know that Jesus has arrived. And he'll walk into the eastern gate. And he will sit down on the throne, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. He'll sit down on a throne that belonged to David. And people will know this is Jesus. He's going to be in a literal bodily form because he has consigned himself to a body for all of eternity. Did you know that? Jesus said, I've gone back to the Father, and I'm coming back the same way. And we're going to be called before his presence. Now, what's all the technicalities? I'll leave that to him. But here's the reality. There is a plan in the economy of God that Benny Bush is going to be called before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be called by name, and he's going to call me into account of my time, my talent, my opportunities, and he's going to do the same thing for you. That's why if somebody persecutes you, if somebody attacks you, if somebody says mean things about you, go ahead and let them. Because the Lord is watching how you respond. And you see, here's what he says. He's going to reward you. Paul said, I've been faithful. Can I ask you this? Are you faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you faithful to his church? Now, I wouldn't hurt any of you. But I can look at some of you and you're faithful to a morning service and I'll see you next Sunday morning. Is that the truth or not the truth? Some of you say, yes, it is. I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth. Jesus is going to ignore our lives, isn't he? He's going to ignore unfaithfulness, isn't he? He's going to overlook that you don't have time for him, isn't he? He's going to ignore the fact that TV is so important and you don't have time to honor him with your life and your mind and your body. He's going to overlook your life, isn't he? Don't sound real good when I put it that way, does it? But here's what I'm doing to you. I'm preparing you for the future. Because it is coming. And I just in my spirit happen to believe it's so much closer than what we really believe. And you see, think about it for a moment. He's not going to look at your life to jump on you. He's going to look at your life to reward you. Listen carefully to what Paul says. And I want you to listen real carefully. Paul is getting ready to pour his body out, his blood out for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not afraid of seeing Jesus. He's not intimidated. He's not the least bit scared. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now listen to me real carefully, friend. Paul lived in a world where people despised him, rejected him, hated him, couldn't stand him. But you know what? That didn't matter to Paul. Because through the eyes of faith, he knew the Father was going to keep his word. He knew that the Lord Jesus was going to evaluate his life. And see, maybe your faith is such that you don't think you count. You don't think it's going to be that big a deal for you. I'm here to tell you it is. It's going to be a big deal when you don't have much to show the Lord God. You say, well, I'm not educated. I don't have a lot of education. You know what? It don't require a lot of education to serve. Some of the greatest servants that I know in the years gone by, and I've used this person many times, but he's worth using again. I think of my dear friend Perry Lee. I was only about a 3 or 4 year old little kid. But Perry Lee would walk up the road, and I'd watch him as he walked up the road, and he'd come to the cemetery. He'd come to the cemetery, and he'd get down on those knees, and he'd take his little shears and go around the tombstones. Didn't have a weed eater. No such thing in that day and time. And then Perry Lee would go home and he'd bring his little lawnmower back. And he'd mow that lawn. I remember one time my sister and I mowed it and we got big money. We got $13 a piece. And it was a huge, huge, huge. I only wanted to mow it one time. But Perry Lee would come up. And you know what I watched in Perry Lee? He probably, when I see him in heaven, you notice that, Benny? You was just a little boy. But you know what? Nobody, not many people would have done what Perry Lee did. And I'd go out and I'd talk to Perry Lee and he'd be, you know, just past the time of day and he'd say, "How you doing, Benny?" And he'd be going around that tombstone and I'd get tickled looking at him because he didn't have good teeth. And as he went around, he'd, you know, chop his teeth together. You know, he had dentures. Nobody had to applaud him. You know what a soldier is? Some of you have been in the military. Some of you know what it is to serve on the front line. Some of you know what a serve it is and what it is to serve in no man's land, so to speak. Bombs going off right around you. You didn't wait for somebody to give you an award. You didn't wait somebody to say, "You know what? If you'll give me a plaque, I'll stay on this front line." You was on the front line because you love this land that we call the United States of America. You loved it and you served and you served and you was proud. And maybe you came out, you had something, some type of injury, but you was appreciative because you fought for the United States and you had the privilege of wearing proudly the uniform that not many, many, many can wear proudly. Don't you dare think for one moment that you're going to live 60, 70, 80 years of life and God the Father is not going to reward you for walking proudly through this life and being faithful to Him, being faithful to His commandments and being obedient and regardless of what anybody says, you say, "I will never move from the Word of the living God. My obedience is unto Him until I breathe my last breath." And you see, God's going to make sure none of us are overlooked. And you see, the Bible says every man's work's going to be made known. What does that mean? What it says. God is going to amplify and show what you're really made of. He's going to show your heart. He's going to expose my heart. Some people really think they've got God deceived, and they're so deceived themselves. Jesus said, that's what it's going to be like. You know, God has a reward for you if you're obedient. You say, "Pastor, nobody ever notices what I do. It don't seem like." Cheer up. Somebody's watching. And that somebody is the only body that really counts. And His name is Jesus. And you know, you walk through this life and you have moments of weakness and maybe you feel like giving in or you feel like quitting. And then you look back and you realize, "Lord, if it wasn't for You, I wouldn't be saved." Sometimes, even in the pastorate, can I tell you this? Sometimes pastors get weary in well-doing too, don't they? But you know what I remind myself of? God didn't have to call me. When I was a 17-year-old boy coming home from a softball game, I lived and breathed sports. I knew how God was calling me. And you see, here's the thing about it. You decide. Only you. Your wife don't decide. Your husband don't decide. Your children. Only you decide what you do with your life. But here's what you can look forward to. You can look forward to what Paul said if you're faithful. Paul said, "I fought. I finished. I finished well. And I kept the faith." Paul, what do you mean by that? Basically this. I didn't let an ungodly world ram its agenda down my mouth. I didn't let an ungodly world ram its stuff down my throat. Now, you and I are to be kind, we're to be courteous, but don't you ever let the world ram its agenda down your throat. You're in an army. You are commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful to the finish if you're a child of God. And you need to be reminded that He sees everything that you and I do, and He'll honor your life. Father, we thank You so much that You remind us that there is a reward that's awaiting Your children who are faithful to the finish. Father, You don't honor quitting, and You can't honor quitters. You know this world has struggles, but You promised to give us the strength and the energy and the power. But Father, Your rewarding time is coming. And Lord, how we obey You and follow You and walk with You is the evidence of what we really believe of Your word.